Our study this past Sunday morning was Exodus chapter 34. It was a long chapter. There was a lot to get to. And of course, all of it, every verse, was pertinent for the message itself about true fellowship. But there was one section that I didn't have opportunity, just because of the lack of time, to explore a little more fully than some may have wanted. So I'd like to go back to that just for a few minutes. In Exodus 34, if you were there for that Sunday morning, or perhaps you've already had opportunity to listen to the recording if you were not there, but in verse 7 of Exodus 34, this is in the midst of God's description of himself to Moses. Well, actually, you start reading in verse 6. It says, "The Lord passed before him," before Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" A lot of good news there about God. And it continues in verse 7 about our relationship to him, at least our potential. He says, "Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." I acknowledged on Sunday that we have considered this concept in the past, but that's been some time now in other passages. And here it is showing up in Exodus 34. And it's the disturbing statement that God, in his not clearing the guilty, visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. There just seems to be something inherently unfair that God would do that. And it bothers us. In fact, it bothers interpreters of God's word so much that they almost desperately look for some alternative way of understanding this verse. It just doesn't seem like it can mean what it says. And so I said in the message, I've concluded that it does. I see grammatical evidence here in the text that God actually has the right to punish children. And he says, and there's a limit here, only three or four generations. But he has the right to punish children when the father has violated his command. The first time this shows up in Scripture is Exodus 20. And in that context, it's in direct connection with the second commandment. And that has to do with how we worship God, with worship style. And it's not directly referring to worship style here, it's just sin in general. And God's point is that sin is so important that for somebody who refuses to change, refuses to repent, that's such a huge issue that he has decided to provide extra motivation to parents to do what is right and to obey God. That extra motivation is what is probably the highest motivation we could ever conceive of. And that is, if you don't do what's right, it's going to affect your children. Not just in natural circumstances, but God himself taking action to punish children when the parents do what is wrong. And why would God do that? So that parents and everyone would decide not to sin. It is a motivation that God is giving here. And that God is doing it, we should know instinctively that it's not unfair. But let's just pursue that a little bit further for a moment. How is it fair that God does this? Well, first of all, because God is saying so ahead of time. This is like you're about to, somebody's about to, or several people are about to play a game, and they decide ahead of time what the rules are going to be. Now, however the game plays out, as long as they follow the rules, it's fair. But if one of the players decides, well, I'm not going to follow that anyway, well, then he's the one that's not being fair to the others. He's not following according the way the rules were set up. Well, God says, here's how it's going to work. Here are the rules. And he doesn't have to get our agreement because he's God. So he's made it clear for us. What is really unfair is a parent who knows that this is what God says he'll do and says, well, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Do you see how that's the one who's not being fair? There is no injustice in what God is doing because he has announced it ahead of time. And it is incentive for us to make the decision, well, I am going to turn from sin. I'm going to be on the right side of this. Three or four generations can feel the effects of our wrong choices. But going back to the first part of verse 7, when he says, keeping steadfast love for thousands, an alternative translation there is for a thousand generations. There's a parallel that says that more explicitly in Deuteronomy 7:9. So there's the contrast. A limit of only three or four generations will feel the effects of your wrong choices. And that's bad enough. But if you choose to do what God says, they could be reaping the benefits of that in your among your descendants a thousand generations later. That's great potential. That's great motivation to make the decision to do what pleases God.